Welcome, everyone, to another episode of 90 Day React, Bubbles and Banter, episode 16, season 11 of 90 Day Fiancé. So what did you think about this episode?
So I thought that there was that fateful meeting in Guadalajara that we've been waiting for, which seems like a bit of the peak of the thruple story, but it was really not as explosive as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the rest of the couples, I felt like it was definitely a transitionary episode to get us through to the wedding episode, right, which I believe should be coming up soon.
Yeah. Yeah, to me it was like, surprises and disappointments. Disappointments with, as you said, the thruple. It was built up to be this crazy, gathering of Ani's family and Matt and Amani. By the way, she referred to herself as Amini in the episode when they were
introducing
her.
Why doesn't she legally change it to I? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I know a lot of people, when they immigrate, they when they're writing it down, or I know people who their parents misspelled their name because their parents' English was not their first language.
Right.
To me, I would just when I would be of age, just legally change it to the proper spelling so that way people don't keep saying my name wrong.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. I mean, I don't see the much of a difference between Amani and Amini. It's not like
it's spelled with an A, people are going to keep saying Amani.
Right.
They're not going to say Amini.
Right.
Anyway.
So yeah, it took them three episodes that they were dragging this dinner with Ray, and this episode, she introduces both of them, Matt and Amani, to her aunt, to her brother, and the sister-in-law. And they seemed like nice people, and as soon as, she started explaining that she's not really my boyfriend, I'm going to be marrying him, I'm going to be marry her. And they kind of looked at each other as and aunt was like, what the hell are you talking about? And then it was like, okay, fine, go ahead.
Yeah, like,
no problem.
Okay. Just in time for Pride Month.
Exactly. He's like, what when you ask something of anything about, in your mind, if I'm thinking about the aunt, is like, okay, so You're okay with her doing whatever she decides to do, but shouldn't you ask about the kids? Shouldn't you ask them, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to you guys when you are divorcing and getting married? And what's going to, who's going to have the custody? Who's not? What's going to happen to my granddaughter, but, the 7-year-old that she has, what's going to happen to her? Is she going to come over there? Is she going to get adopted? Or is no questions whatsoever. It's like, okay, no problem. I bless you and go ahead, do whatever you need to do.
I think, I saw it more so as this is so that she was still processing, I feel maybe. That was a big...
She was in shock.
Unless they had an inkling before that, maybe she might be gay.
Right.
Which maybe is possible. It's still it... For a lot of people, it changes the way you view... especially if you're coming from maybe a religious or more conservative background, it changes the way you view that person.
Right.
And I'm sure their minds were, swimming with all these questions.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, to say... And I'm in a thruple, and I'm going to do all this stuff. It's a lot. So there were two things that came up for me in that moment. One was that in general, what we've seen on this show and what, you hear anecdotally in people's lives is if there is love from the family member, true unconditional love, generally people forego whatever judgments they have. Mm-hmm. You saw it with Kenny and Armando, where his dad struggled quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And even his mom did. But and his mom, you know, she would whine and cry a bit, whatever, kick and scream.
Right.
But at the end of the day, she supported him always because she adored her son.
Right.
And now even, you know, you see these photos of Kenny and Armando with both of Armando's parents, and they go on trips, and his dad is like, seems to be fully integrated in their lives. Like, you know, it takes time for some people to process and come around.
Correct.
But generally, like, in my opinion, I just think the people who end up disowning or walking out on people are people who have, like, clearly other issues.
Right.
And, you know, I'm really glad to see that her family was supportive. She also explained how her aunt pretty much raised her because her parents both died when she was young.
Correct.
So this is like her mom, uh-huh. You know?
Right.
And the other thing that is such a pet peeve of mine, my gosh, everybody does this, is like they tell someone, they drop a bomb, and then they immediately, they're like, is that okay? I need you to tell me now that you're okay with it. Can you come to the wedding? Like,
exactly.
Like, my God, give this woman a second. And they're like, and will you accept me? And will you do, it's like,
and bless me.
Relax.
Bless our wedding.
Bless me, do all this stuff, you know? And the woman was, you know, obliging, but it's like, give her a second to process.
I know, right?
You know, you're asking all these things of her.
She's in shock.
Give her a second. Like, maybe talk about the wedding the next time.
I know, exactly.
Even that is too fast.
Yeah, but let's, like, discuss it later.
Yeah, anyway.
But it was just, it also could have been like, she thought maybe with the camera people there, it's just like a prank. She just went along with it. I don't know. Or they were like, this is like a show. Maybe I should just like not act weird and just go along. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the addition of having cameras around, I'm sure, can make people nervous and they don't want to. And then you find out later, they'll put like a title card on screen and be like, they retracted everything they said, exactly. And they don't want to have a relationship.
I know.
So we'll see. But, you know, yeah, I think I would feel uncomfortable. I would be mad probably at my family member for having a private conversation on camera.
Exactly.
You know, but.
Yeah, even like, yeah. You know, she's saying, like Amani was saying, like, you know, she's saying that, and, you know, that these are like her aunt and her brother are in total shock. You know, it's like, duh. You know, this is what. You should have expected, you know, it's not like, you know, normal for if she came out as like, I want to marry, you know, another woman. Now she's marrying the woman while she is divorced. That woman is divorcing her husband. So that is totally weird to, you know, everybody else, let alone family members.
Yeah, it's very non-traditional. I think you and I have mentioned it in previous podcast episodes of like, even for like a moderate American family or someone who's trying to be open-minded, even for that person, it's a lot.
Right.
So I think to just like, I don't know, maybe they just had to say everything then because they were only going to see the aunt that night.
Right.
But I just hate it when people just have that pile on. It's like, give them a second. They need to kind of take this in.
Right. And the fact that the way like Amani was telling Ani to translate for her, and she kept saying like, tell them like, you won't be alone anymore. We're going to save you. We're going to take you away from here. You have a, it's like, Ani is fine. It's like, man, her family is right in front of you, you know, and she has her kids.
There was a
and,
major savior complex.
Exactly.
From
I don't get a sense that, you know, Ani wanted to just run away from, you know, her job. And I mean, she, for God's sake, she's making so much money that she needs Ray to open up a bank account.
Yeah, she's not struggling by any means.
She's making great money. She doesn't look like she is miserable, you know, and she's in her own country and her family are there and her children are there. And who are you saving her from? And from what situation, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah, it was like very, I hate to say it, but it was like very American of her to be like.
Yeah, she's fine, yeah. You know, without you guys.
And Matt didn't say a single word. It seems
no,
like
Matt was just like
he was just looking around like
in horror to see their reaction and
yeah, he
what
was
they
just
were gonna say.
Scanning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, any other thoughts on these guys?
No, that's about it. You know, now that you know turned out to be a nothing burger, we can move on to the next couple.
That also explains why they took forever to drag out that one.
They had nothing. Yeah, they had
Ray
nothing.
Because they knew they weren't going to have that punch later with the family. So
yeah, it's just like on and on and on with, oh, it's Brenda. It's her real name. That's that she lied to us. And then the next day, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Things resolve themselves really quickly with this couple. I don't know what's going on.
Your aunt, what is she going to say? And she said, fine, I bless you. I'll come to the wedding. And that's fine. It's like, you know, we were expecting this.
Okay, moving
on. Exactly. This crazy stuff happening and none of it happened. So I don't know.
Who do you want to do next?
Next. Okay. Let's talk about these two, Sean and Aaliyah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who to be mad at. Aaliyah, Sean, or Jackie. First thing in the morning, Aaliyah gives him the papers that, here, I'm going to, you know, sign the prenup. And he gives it to him, and he's happy, and everything's fine. And this is like, time is about 1:30 in the afternoon, right? That's when Sean is leaving and Jackie's coming in. Jackie is Sean's friend that we saw her like two episodes back. She comes in to help with, you know, Aaliyah getting ready for the wedding and with her dress. But also one of her responsibilities were to get Aaliyah to the venue on time. He's like, you have to let her know.
You
like,
have one, you know, job.
Exactly.
You have one job.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, Aaliyah lives, she's like in La La Land. It's like she just wants to look pretty and, you know, she'd be, you know, there's nothing else going on with her. It's like, when I thought about it, it's like, I don't know if she even has like a formally, you know, any kind of like high school diploma or any kind of any ambitions to do anything, you know, desire to do any kind of work, any kind of, none of that. We have nothing from her. So all she wants to do is get married and, you know, do nothing, I guess. Just, you know, take care of herself, her makeup, her dress, and that's all she wants to do. There's nothing else she wants to do. And same goes with when you're not in that stratosphere of responsibilities and work and ambition and, you know, education, what happens is that you become very, you know, how should I say it? It's like unfriendly or not friendly with timing. It's because you don't have any deadlines in your life. So she
lives just kind of floating around
La La Land. And so somebody who's there, who knows what it's like to be at some place on time and do the work and do the party or do whatever you have to do, has to make sure.
The bit of drama that happens as well is that Sean's mom takes a fall and she injures her foot or ankle or something.
Yeah, her ankle,
and Jackie tells Aaliyah.
I know.
But, like, yeah. I don't know. I was thinking about it. I was thinking, if I were Aaliyah, one, it's like, if I were Jackie, I wouldn't want to tell her because I don't want to stress her out.
Right.
And maybe delay things or just have her be preoccupied on her wedding day. Because also, you know, not to minimize Sean's mom's fall, but like, she was fine.
Exactly.
She was sitting right there. I mean, her leg was wrapped up and
yeah, I'm sure she was
probably
going
to, you know, doctor later, but
exactly.
And I'm sure she was in pain, but it wasn't like an emergency, like call everything off type thing.
Right.
So don't share it with her. Tell, just inform her later. And if she's upset, say, hey, I didn't want to distract you while you were getting ready. But like, she goes and tells her, and Aaliyah's like really like looks distraught. Like,
exactly.
It was like, at first I was like, is she acting? Like, she, but she seems like genuinely like,
I know, right?
Really upset. And I felt bad for her.
She didn't know what to say.
Yeah, she was like in shock.
And I thought the reason, I was thinking like, all right, so Jackie is telling her this. Maybe she's using this as an excuse to push Aaliyah. Hurry up. She's, you know, your mother-in-law is going to be in a lot of pain, but she's still making it to the venue. Let's hurry up and get there on time. Use that as an excuse to get Aaliyah out of the house and to the venue. But she didn't use any of that.
Right. Yeah. She was like, anyway, keep going at your regular pace.
Exactly. It's like
too slow.
She went, Aaliyah went in the shower. They wrote it and they put it on the screen. 1:30. And then after that, she started doing her hair at 3:00. And then it took her 1 hour for the hair. And then 4:00, she started doing her makeup. And then from the makeup took 1.5 hours. So at 5:30, she was just getting into her wedding dress. And the wedding was supposed to start at 5:00.
Yeah, that's, I mean, come on.
That's insane. And then on the other side, I was surprised that Sean is like, you're a grown man. You kind of know that Aaliyah is going to be, she's going to be late. You, no matter what you tell her and you push and push, she's not going to click with her. So what you should do is think about plan B in case Aaliyah doesn't show up on time. So what I would have done is like, I would have said, okay, if after 30 minutes, by 5:30, I would say, okay, let's go and start doing, you know, the bride is going to be late. So let's start the cocktail hour and let's go over there, eat the hors d'oeuvres and drinks and whatever. And then we'll come back once she's here, we'll do the ceremony and then we'll have the dinner. Just change it around a little bit and coordinate with the wedding planner so that people are sitting in this, you know, 100-degree weather. Instead, what he did was like he just walked off the – he left. He just left the one venue. And, you know
– I mean, it's hard to be like – already I felt bad because I'm like – he was complaining that at every event he does everyone's hair.
Right.
Because of his profession. And correct. It's like, at the end of the day, like, this is also his wedding day. Like, can you get someone else to do your hair, like, and let him relax and pamper himself and just get in the right headspace?
Right.
But, like, in addition to that, I think, like, showing up and having to wait, it was, what, over 2 hours at least, and she still wasn't there?
Right.
I don't even imagine that, I mean... I'm a little weird. I'm very like, I do a lot of event coordination and stuff for my job. And I probably would have done that. Like, hey, let's switch things around. But like, you're in an emotional state, you know, you're being heavily disrespected. It's mortifying. You're just standing there. Everybody's staring at you.
Exactly.
You know, I think.
Do something.
I think he'll probably come back. Right. I think he just needed a second. But I don't blame him, poor guy.
I understand.
I'm frustrated with Aaliyah. And with Jackie.
Right. Yeah, they didn't care, neither one of them. Neither Jackie nor Aaliyah. They just like taking their time after hour, just, you know, wasting time and, you know, just do it quickly. You know, we understand it's a big day for you, but, you know, Aaliyah has no concept of being anywhere on time. So Jackie should have made sure. And don't they have cell phones? Sean call Jackie? What the hell is going on? Where are you?
Yeah, I don't know. Was he not?
Wasn't he carrying a cell phone? Or, you know, then Jackie, everybody has a cell phone nowadays. Call somebody. Or, you know, I would send somebody to the house, go drag him, bring him to the venue right now.
I know,
but
I would have been way more active about like, let's figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Well, call him like a million times. If you have to, text, call, do something.
I know.
But none of that. He just left. He left all the guests. Like, you know, the hell with you and Aaliyah. What about all these people that came here for you? Your kids are there. Your mom is there in pain. And you just leave?
Yeah.
At least say, okay, let's eat some food at least. You know, you guys came here. You know, let's have the food. I paid for it.
Or get people water before they pass out.
Water, drinks, food, anything. You know, instead of just looking around, you know, people getting up, getting, you know, nervous or, you know.
It looks like a very expensive wedding, expensive venue.
Right.
My question was, where the hell is the event planner?
Right.
Because they're the ones who need to offer water to guests, try to keep things moving.
Right.
Maybe offer to Sean, hey, let's swap things around, things like that.
Shouldn't the wedding planner like go to him, like, what's going on? What should we do this? Or give him options, like...
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe they did. And he just, you know, told them to fuck off. I'll do whatever I want. I'm just
standing. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't show that, if that was taking place.
He just left.
I don't blame him.
And they show the, you know, next episode that, you know, he gets to the house even before they leave the house. So it took an hour and a half. It was 6:30 that he gave up. He left. He got to the house and they were still there. This was at 6:30. They were just getting ready to leave at 6:30. And I don't know what
I like. I'm such a stickler for being prompt. Yeah. Like, I get really offended if people are late.
Right.
And obviously it varies depending on what type of event it is. But this is your wedding.
Exactly.
Like, your future husband is standing at the altar waiting for you. Hurry up. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Moving on.
Next, Shekinah Sarper. I don't know.
They found him pretty quickly.
Yeah. It already, I mean, come on, production people. You have... You know, staff with everybody, all the characters, you know where he is. You're not just telling Shekinah where he is at. So she has to, you know, confess that she put a tag on his, you know, keychain.
Yeah.
To know exactly where, you know.
Listen, let me tell you, that tag is not there to help find his keys if he loses it.
Exactly.
I'll just say that.
I mean... You know, so she even tells him once she goes and finds Sarper, he's like confused, like, how did you find me? And she said, yeah, this is, instead of saying, well, production told me or something like that, she told him the truth. And he was already upset and confused. He was even angrier now that he's got a tag on him. You know, tells Shekinah about all, you know, all the movements he makes wherever he's going. She's gonna know. And then, you know, before that, we have Sarper talking to his family. You know, FaceTime.
Oh my God, I was so pissed off that they were like, he was explaining the prenup thing. He explains his ridiculous
counter offer,
exactly. Right. Of, for each pound you're above 128, give me $1,000.
Right.
All three of them are like, good job. That's really good incentive. I'm glad you did that.
I think what I understood from that, I took from that, was that they probably thought the same way when Shekinah was explaining that Sarper did that on purpose. I think they thought the same way that Sarper was thinking. Like, I'm going to insult them by saying this because they insulted me. By throwing the prenup at me. So I'm going to throw this at them just to be rude, because that was rude to me. So I'm being rude back. So I think the family kind of felt that same way that Sarper did. like, oh, good idea. You should, guess, you know,
but like,
good thing you said that.
That was not clear to me as the viewer at all.
Right. Yeah. It looked like they were like saying that, yeah. Good idea. You should actually do that. But we know it's not going to happen. You know, he's probably going to sign the prenup and they get on with it.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, there wasn't much. With Chikan and Sarper just trying to chase down Sarper. And plus, the other thing was like, Chikan says, well, we have to pack up to go to the venue. What are you talking about? I thought you guys were doing the betting, not the wedding. What venue are you going to? I thought they were just getting married in the courthouse or, you know.
I guess not. I don't know. Their storyline seems really just like contrived and silly. And, you know, this is like the day after they get neck tattoos, they're like, wait, do you not want to get married?
Why not?
Like, come on.
Right?
So stupid.
But he was like, he was explaining that when you get married in Turkey, it's very similar to Iran. We have the same, almost very similar cultures. When you get married, it's forever, right? So he was trying to explain that he was previously married to someone when he was younger, and she made him like lose contact with his family. And after they got married, obviously, a lot of things changed about her. Now, we don't know the other side of the story, what he might have done to trigger that in her. Or, you know, it takes two to tango. So
exactly. He might have. And God knows he
exactly.
Would be.
So,
he would omit that.
Right. So he was saying that, oh, you know, after I got married, you know, she changed. And that's why, you know, I couldn't stay with her. And we got divorced. Now, that doesn't, I was trying to follow the logic here. Is like, that has nothing to do with a prenup. That goes with any wedding. You didn't.
That just has to do with his
like,
fear
I thought
of
he was
married.
Trying to explain something about a prenup, but it had nothing to do with, they don't have prenup over there. You know, I think this is like American creation, this prenup. I don't even know if they have it in Europe, or they might. But I think it's just the American legal system we have set this prenup up. I don't know. It's possible. But his logic was not making any sense. And his point was that, you know, the person I married to changed. I don't know. I don't know where he was going, what he was trying to say. But, you know, he's like... Maybe he was just saying that I'm not sure about this marriage, but it's too late now. I mean, you know.
You got big fat red lips on your neck now. It's definitely too late.
Good luck getting rid of that. It's in red. Next.
Oh. What do you want to do next?
Let's talk about this guy's bad timing again. Juan. It's like last time it was right after the bachelor party that he took Jessica to the bedroom and while she was drunk, and he says, I want to go back and work, you know, with the cruise, my cruise job. They offered me another contract. And that was bad timing on his part. And now his family came over. A lot of his, you know, folks are from, they're coming from Spain for the wedding, which is great. His friend, childhood friend, or relative, his cousin, no, came from New York. And they're all together. They're having a great time. The kids are playing and everybody's enjoying life. And, you know, Jessica is trying to speak, you know, bare minimum Spanish. And he's like talking about,
horrifically,
you know, he's thinking, oh, well, my, you know. He talked to his cousin in the previous scene that, you know, I think that David should be speaking Spanish at home, or he should learn Spanish. Obviously, there's no question about that. It doesn't make sense for him not to. So he takes her outside while they're everybody's together. They're having fun. He takes her outside in the I think it was freezing cold and snowing, and he starts the topic of you have to learn Spanish like right away. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit, again, of like what we were hearing from Sarper, where it's like maybe your issue is just you're stressed out about the idea of committing to someone and you keep pulling up these last minute things to try to delay it. Right. And, you know, he was making it seem like a deal breaker. She was like, one, I don't have time.
Right.
Now I have more time that you're here and helping out, but like I can't be fluent in a language that quickly. I understand what he meant about like her not showing enough initiative, and it felt like it hurt because he was like, why are you not making enough of an effort?
Right.
But his argument about like our child's not going to be fluent if, excuse me, you're right, going to be speaking to your son nonstop.
Exactly.
That child would be fluent.
Exactly.
You know, like it would be a concern like for me, and I have a partner who doesn't speak any Farsi. My Farsi is poor. I'm concerned that I can't pass that down to a kid.
Correct.
But for him, that's his first language. He has full command of it.
Right.
Yes, she should learn it, but like he alone can be that influence for David to be fluent. That's not hard.
No. If she can't do it, then you have to speak to him in Spanish at home, you know, and it totally depends on your partner, whether they want to learn your language or not. I mean, it's so sweet when I hear other people like Andres' wife. What was her name?
Andres. Oh, Libby. Yeah.
She was speaking fluent Romanian. It was like,
and her comprehension was great, like, too. Shocked. He's from Moldova.
Like, I see like, you know, American or European, you know, with Iranian spouses and they speak Farsi. It's like, how did you learn that? It's not easy. I mean, English is easy to learn, but other languages, I mean, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And when I see people learn, putting in the effort to learn that, at least something, you know, say a sentence or a statement or a verb or anything in different language, that shows that you do care and you do want to learn. And it makes it easier for the child to learn. But I also have to say that when you were born, all we spoke in the house, me and your mom, were Farsi. Because I don't remember doing that with your sister, what we did it with you. All we did was Farsi.
I mean,
and you did not speak a word of English. All you spoke was Farsi, Farsi, Farsi. And the first grade came and you came home and gone. There was no Farsi. It was all English. It's like
kindergarten. Yeah.
You made the switch so quickly and you just stopped talking Farsi altogether. But you still understand and you could understand before. But once you start school, then everything, all your friends and your teachers, everything becomes, you know, English all around. And there's no way, it's very difficult to carry that on, you know, even in our household. A lot of times you think that maybe I should push a little bit harder, but at the same time you're thinking maybe that will hamper her learning, you know, proper English and being able to, you know, do her studies, and because you're learning everything, you know, all these subjects in English, not in a different language. So it might hinder the child's effort to learn and understand in school.
But kids are so resilient. They're incredibly smart. They retain everything that you teach them. I think what he was doing to antagonize his future wife, like a day or two before they get married, was like, come on.
Yeah,
we're grasping at straws here again.
It's just bad timing. It is so cold outside, and they're just sitting on this, you know, frozen bench, and is insisting her, you know, her to learn English right away. And she says, like, well, I didn't have the time. And now what do you want to do? You know, it's like, all right, so you didn't want me to go on this cruise thing. So you have to learn Spanish right now.
It's a tit for tat thing. Same with Sarper. Exactly. Same story.
I know. So Mark and Mina.
Oh, Mark and Mina. Okay, go for it.
Yeah, Mark and Mina is short. They just went to see the venue. And she got the bad news from friends. Clayton cannot make it. That was it. And she started, you know, crying and being upset. Once the phone call came in, they stopped and Mark was waiting for Mina to finish up. And then I would have gone like to her and hold her, do something. You're just like waiting in the distance, like just go to her. Give her a hug, you know, tell her it's okay, and, you know.
When has Mark ever done anything that, like, was the right
I know.
thing it's to just do? Like... He just flops around. He's so passive. It was the same with the issue with Mina and Jordan.
Right.
Just like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, okay, I don't know. Like, do something, man.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we find out that this poor baby has his bags packed.
Right.
He's all excited, going to see his mommy. Uh-huh. And again, it's like, I don't understand why she's being informed by someone else. Like, why are you not on top of that? How do you not know that? And also, why would you have this child go through the emotional process of packing his bags and all that if you weren't 100% certain that he would be clear to come?
Right.
You know, uh-huh. It's like, it breaks my heart. And obviously she's upset, but it's like, I've had enough with this woman and the way she parents or doesn't parent. It infuriates me because that boy is feeling all of the neglect.
Exactly.
And the sadness and everything. I'm just furious with her.
I know.
Truly.
But I tell you, this whole season I've seen Mina crying more than anybody on this show. Anything that happens, she's just like in tears right away. And she just, I mean, she could be homesick. I don't know. But she did like the venue. So that was a positive.
Yeah, before she found out that her poor son can't come.
Yeah. And they also showed her sister a little bit before they went to see the venue. And she was like opening up the sliced bread, Wonder Bread or whatever she was opening up. And the sister said, I'm not eating that. That's garbage. I'm looking for
something. I didn't get why she said that.
Baguette or something. It's like, you can keep that sliced bread in the fridge for like months and it doesn't go bad. So there's so much crap in the bread that we eat. I mean, I haven't had sliced bread in the longest time ever. Not that it's bad for me.
Oh, I get it pretty regularly. I get
all sorts of bad stuff, but it's just like, I just don't. But I do understand where she's coming from. A lot of the stuff that we eat, they don't even allow in Europe. Like, I don't know if I told you that.
Yeah, but, I know. Let's not.
Yeah. So all the good stuff that we love here, they don't even, their market doesn't even, it's kind of illegal there. For it to be on the shelf in the supermarkets.
Yeah. It's toxic food that we eat. Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And the last couple, we didn't see Stevie and Matty at all. We just saw the next on, which was this guy Saeed that I want to get rid of as soon as possible.
We'll get to it next episode. Save it for next episode.
My buddy Greg. I mean, I never thought this guy really surprised me with all the things that he did. It was like, I never thought he'd be so thoughtful as to, you know, rent a place, rent a nice place, get these dresses for him and for her that are ethnically correct.
Appropriate, yeah.
And then ordering the food, you know, the Ugandan food, or I don't know what kind of food they had, getting the dance group. He was doing all of these things that I never thought he would.
Yeah, it was very thoughtful.
Think of doing at all.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it was thoughtful, and he did defend, like, Lucille was like, "What's that?" or "What is this meat?"
Exactly,
what's
yeah.
that? And he defended, you know, his wife and his wife's culture, and he was like, "Listen, this is chicken, this is beef, this is lamb. Eat it or don't eat
exactly.
it."
Exactly, it's food. Taste it and see if it's good or not. And take something else, you know, just move on. I would just take a little bit of everything and try it out and just go back and get more of the ones that I liked.
Exactly.
And yeah. I don't know how he was so lucky that he got that dress for her and it fit her just like it was made for her. How's that possible? With Greg that couldn't get a job, now he's done yeah. all of these things. How's that possible? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I was,
and we found out what he meant by shitting the bed. It was not losing his job.
Oh, yeah. We all thought that it's going to be his job, but it wasn't. I mean, the mistake he made was put the wrong time on the invitation card, which, you know, a lot of people do make that mistake, you know. And also, if the time on the card, it says reception is like 6:30. Wouldn't people go there earlier than 6:30? You wouldn't just show up at 6:30, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, there are some people who are just have no regard for this. They don't respect people and their time.
Right.
So yeah, there are some people who show up at 6:30. Some people show up at 7:30. So it really depends on who your audience is.
Right. Plus the fact that you could, as they were trying to do, to text everybody, hey, you know, I mean, there couldn't be like that many people coming to the wedding. Was there a number on the number of guests?
I don't know. It's probably small, but hopefully sending out that text of like, hey, by the way, this is the wrong time.
Right. Just tell everybody that it's coming and, you know, but just texting it would have been enough, you know. And if, you know, people do show up a little bit later, that's fine, you know.
We'll see.
It wasn't like losing his job.
But I think he felt bad, like, you know, Joan doesn't have anyone. And if she ends up, you know, getting married and no one's there, it would hurt and whatever. But we'll see.
Exactly. Pretty much surprises and disappointments this episode. And, you know, the nights before the wedding. In Sean's case, the day of the wedding. At the
yeah, I'm
show.
Most curious to see what happens there.
Right.
And obviously, Stevie and Matthew next episode seems pretty crazy. So I'm
I think next episode, we should be seeing a lot of weddings going on now.
It seems like that should be the wedding episode. But you never know. We'll see how the weddings go. We'll see if Aaliyah has any explanation as to why she's in 10 hours late.
Nothing. What explanation could she have? Could she possibly have? Nothing. It took me 2 hours to get dressed and 3 hours to get put the hair on and 5 hours to do the makeup.
What a mess.
And she doesn't care either. She's like shocked when Sean shows up. It's like, are you kidding me? The wedding started like an hour and a half ago.
Anyway, stick with us, people.
Unbelievable.
And let's get through this season together.
That's right.
We're almost at the end.
Yep. Should be exciting next episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week on another episode of 90 Day React.
Babas and Banter.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Next week.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.